Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. What a difference a week makes. Last Friday, Congress was getting ready to consider President Obama's plan to launch limited airstrikes against Syria to punish the Syrian government for using chemical weapons. But then a diplomatic option emerged, and the congressional vote has been put on hold indefinitely. So what does all this mean for Vermont's congressional delegation? With us now to explore this question is retired Middlebury College political science professor Eric Davis. Hi, Eric. Welcome back to the program.
Good afternoon, Bob.
So, Eric, let's go back to this time last week. It seemed that all three members of the delegation were wrestling with the question of supporting the president's military option. What were the factors influencing their decision? And let's take them one by one. Let's start with Senator Patrick Leahy, who is chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. He's also president of the Senate. What were the factors influencing Senator Leahy?
Well, all the members of Congress on this issue had to balance what they heard from their constituency, what the president and other people in the administration were saying as policy justifications for the proposed bombing, and then some more political factors having to do with parties and institutions in Washington. In the case of Senator Leahy, Bob, I think the way he might have balanced those considerations might have led him to be the only member of the Vermont delegation to vote in favor of the resolution had it come up for a vote. Certainly, Leahy heard from a lot of Vermonters who were opposed to any military involvement in Syria. But on the other hand, he has said on a number of occasions in the past that he is sympathetic to the arguments for so-called humanitarian intervention that have been made in part by the president, but also by others in the administration, like Samantha Power, who's now the UN ambassador, and Susan Rice, who's now the national security advisor. Also, two of the people who were the most strong advocates of the bombing plan, Vice President Biden and Secretary of State Kerry, were longtime colleagues of Leahy in the Senate, and certainly he would take their views seriously. So I think, based on some of the statements Leahy made and looking at the way he tends to approach issues, had the matter come up for a vote on the Senate floor, Leahy might have voted yes in what would have been a very close Senate vote.
Well, given his leadership position in the Senate, would it have been hard for Leahy not to support the president?
Yes, Leahy is the senior member of the Senate. He's the president pro tem. He's a senior member of the Democratic Party. He's been a friend of Barack Obama for a long time, since Obama first arrived in the Senate. And again, one of the things Leahy, perhaps more than the other members of the Vermont delegation, was concerned about is what would the impact of a no vote, of a denial of authorization from Congress, have been on President Obama's standing, not only in Washington and in the country, but on the president's standing and the United States standing internationally.
And just today, Eric, Senator Leahy is talking about the difficulty of putting together a comprehensive verification program because Syria is in the middle of a civil war. And Senator Leahy says if that verification program can't be worked out, the military option is still on the table.
It's still on the table from the administration's point of view. I don't believe that Congress would vote in favor of an authorization resolution, even if the current talks collapse. So that leaves Obama in the dilemma that he was in 2 weeks ago. Does he go ahead and order some action, even in the absence of a positive congressional vote, or does he try and bring it up on the House and Senate floor for a vote? It might narrowly pass the Senate. I'm not really sure about that, but I've seen no evidence that any resolution could pass the House at this time.
So let's look at Senator Bernie Sanders. He seemed to highlight his constituents' oppositions to the president's plan. He put out a press release that stated that Vermonters responding to a poll at his website opposed the military option by a 10-to-1 margin. So as you look at the three factors in this debate, how does Sanders vote?
Sanders would almost certainly have voted no. For one thing, he has a long history of opposing American military involvements abroad. He was a strong opponent of the Iraq War. Certainly his constituents, as you said, have been very vocal about this. As an independent in the Senate, Sanders is less influenced by some of these institutional and party factors that I mentioned in the case of Leahy. I think it would have been difficult for Sanders to provide an explanation to his constituents in Vermont and to his many supporters nationwide had he voted in favor of military action. And he said that one of the things he was most concerned about were the consequences, both intended and unintended, of any cruise missile strikes in Syria. He talked at some length about unintended consequences of previous United States military action in the Middle East and was very concerned about what such consequences might emerge this time around.
And on the policy aspect of this debate, Senator Sanders also made it very clear that he's concerned that taking military action against Syria would divert limited financial resources away from this country's most pressing domestic issues.
Yes, and that's a sentiment that Americans nationwide, not just in Vermont, have made very clear in good national polls that have been conducted over the last week to 10 days, that right now foreign policy issues are about as low as they've ever been in American sense of what are the most important issues facing the country. So a president and members of Congress who talk about acting internationally, emphasizing international relations, talking about whether it's military action, diplomacy, those aren't the things Americans want to hear about right now. Americans now want to hear about jobs, they want to hear about health care, they want to hear about the economy.
Finally, we turn to Congressman Peter Welch. How did he frame his thinking on this issue?
Well, again, it was the same considerations as the others. He's a little bit newer to Congress, of course, than the two senators, but his opposition to the Iraq War was one of the major factors that got him elected to Congress back in 2006. So he was certainly sympathetic to the concerns expressed by many constituents on a town meeting, for example, that he held by phone earlier in the week. Welch was in a particular dilemma on this because he's been moving up in the House since he was elected, and he's now a member of the Democratic Party's leadership team as a chief deputy whip, which means he's a close associate of House Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi. Pelosi has been one of the strongest supporters of military action in this. Interestingly, she represents a constituency in San Francisco, which is arguably about the most opposed of any constituency in the entire country to the proposed military action. But she's been trying to convince her colleagues in the House Democratic leadership that it's important to support the president on this issue. And more importantly, it's important that the United States send a message both to punish Bashar Assad and to deter other dictatorial regimes from using weapons of mass destruction, either against their own people or in some sort of conflict. And Pelosi has been having a very difficult time getting her colleagues to accept that argument. Most of them, like Peter Welch, represent constituencies that are strongly opposed to military intervention. And based on whip counts and other things I've seen about the House Democratic Party, of the 200 Democrats in the House, somewhere between 80 and 100 would likely have voted no had the resolution come to the floor, and an even larger percentage of the House Republican Party would have voted no. So that's why I said earlier, I don't see any circumstances under which the House would vote for a resolution authorizing force, even if the diplomatic talks collapse.
Eric, we got about a minute left. Earlier this week, all three members of the delegation came out in support of that diplomatic approach. But is it possible that Congress will consider a resolution that supports the diplomatic option, but then calls for military action if the diplomatic efforts are not successful?
It's possible, but that would have to be couched in terms of supporting a UN Security Council resolution. The one possible outcome of the talks would be if Russia and China were to agree to a resolution under Section 7 of the UN Charter, in which the Security Council would call upon Syria to turn its chemical weapons over to international supervision with frequent and regular inspection, and to say, under the terms of Section 7, if Syria did not comply with this resolution, military action could be used as part of a multilateral international effort to enforce the resolution. Now, in order to get there, both Russia and China would have to agree to such a resolution in the Security Council. It's possible, but this is several steps down the road, that the president could go back to Congress if there were a Security Council resolution and ask members to support the potential use of force to implement a Security Council resolution.
It'll be fascinating to see how this issue unfolds in the future. Eric Davis, many thanks for being on the program today.
My pleasure, Bob.